Welcome to We Sing Our Faith, sharing the music and ministry of today's Catholic recording artists. I am your host, Julie Carrick, and it is my privilege to share my fellow artists with you. Welcome indeed this week to We Sing Our Faith, and welcome to part two of Living the Words We Pray. Oh my goodness, it has just been such an amazing week receiving the emails and some of the calls that have come in. And I love that we ended partway through the Anima Christi prayer last week. And that was the song that we had ended with that took us to the top of the hour last week. And I just want to say this. Thank you to all of the music leadership who reached out to me in order to have that music available for your parishes. I love that it will be used now in so many more churches around the country as either a prelude song or after the reception of Holy Communion, which is the perfect place for them to either prepare our souls, our hearts, our thoughts as we enter into this beautiful sacrifice of the Mass. And then, of course, receiving our Lord in the Eucharistic embrace and acknowledging who He is as the Lamb of God, that His body was spent in atonement for our sins. He literally gave Himself. And then as we talked about that beautiful line, blood of Christ inebriate me, and it seems so funny to have that in a prayer until we really realize that it means in a euphoric sense, we give ourselves over to the substance that we have taken into our body. How magnificent. How magnificent if we would all let our free will go once receiving the Lord and saying, Lord, your will and not mine be done. And then that beautiful phrase where we say, water of Christ, water from the side of Christ, wash me. That beautiful gift of being relieved of our sins in the sacrament of baptism. And of course, throughout our life with that beautiful healing sacrament of reconciliation. And then that last line of the first part, passion of Christ, strengthen me. You know, there is nothing that we've gone through or that we will go through in our life that Christ is not there with us in the moment. He is with us in our suffering. He understands suffering because He did it so perfectly when He lived on this earth and took all of those, just the things that He suffered throughout His life. And then, of course, in that incredible passion, when He left the Garden of Gethsemane and everything that He endured during His passion and death for us. And then, of course, the beauty of His resurrection. Oh, my goodness. And so today we are going to pick up with that part of the prayer. And it begins with those words, oh, good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Separated from you, let me never be. And from the evil one, protect me, defend me. And at the hour of my death, call me and bid me close to you to come, that with your saints I may praise you and with your angels praise your name forever and ever. And you know, when I think about the phrase that Kurt and I are using this year as we are preparing all of the different workshops, parish missions, and evenings of reflections, one of the ways that we can like really show people how we live this prayer is that it struck me so powerfully. And this has been quite a few years ago when I was in Mass. I was in Mass and I had just received the Lord, had just prayed this prayer. And that powerful line at the very end of it, that with your saints, I may praise you, with your angels, praise your name forever and ever. The knowledge that someday we will be with our Lord in eternity at that eternal banquet in heaven. But in the moment, in the present right now, it struck me that day so powerfully that the two little ones that my husband and I lost at 5.5 months and 5 months into the pregnancy, first Timmy and then Clancy a couple of years later, as I was holding that little tiny infant son of mine and we were trying to get to the hospital as fast as possible and knowing that that baby was dying in my hands from miscarriage, we baptized him on the way to the hospital. So that baptized infant, and the same with Clancy, where else would they be but among the communion of saints. And so to realize that as we are in the church and we are asking the communion of saints to pray with us, and I look up at the altar and there is God present. There is the body of Jesus Christ surrounded by the multitude of angels and saints. It struck me that that too is where my little boys, my full-grown saints are around that beautiful banquet table in heaven interceding for us. And so we're going to kick off today with Anima Christi. And again, this week, please reach out if you would like this music for your parish to be shared. From me, your host, Julie Carrick, Anima Christi. such a beautiful prayer and such incredible invitation for us to go so close with our relationship with Jesus. And how lovely that today we also have a saint's feast day, Saint Benedict. And my husband and I, since 1990, have been Benedictine oblates, and we are attached to Conception Abbey in Missouri. And I love the fact that Saint Benedict invites us to pray and work. And so that beautiful two words, pray, work, they're in order. We pray first, then we do the work that God has called us to do. And when we have that order of prayer in our life, the living the words that we pray are so incredibly meaningful. They're so powerful. And we are never alone in our prayer, ever. As we communicate along with those who have gone before us, the incredible communion of saints and the most powerful, beautiful, lovely, humble, and yet just, I can't even describe her, our Blessed Mother Mary, this perfect saint, the mother of our Lord. You know, to be able to talk to her and to ask her to intercede for us. We know that God is the giver of all grace and blessing. Everything comes from God. But why wouldn't we ask the mother of our Savior to pray for us? If we will ask a dear friend to pray for us, let's count Mary among our dearest of friends. And there are two particular prayers. The first is the Memorare. And I love the way this prayer begins. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy clemency, hear and answer me. Amen. Asking her to pray for us is such a beautiful gift, and I cannot tell you how many times I have felt her presence in my home. I have seen her just literally touching my husband's heart, wrapping that mantle of grace and love around my children throughout the years, and then my grandchildren. And to know that she hears us and she cares. She truly cares about our needs, and she takes them to her son. And so the next song that we're going to go to today is sung by Danielle Rose, and it is simply this beautiful Memorare put to music. So many times with music, the words go in a bit deeper. So from Danielle Rose, Memorare.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for lending your voice. And again, Danielle's website is available to be clicked on at wesingourfaith.org. Click on the link for Danielle Rose, and you're going to learn so much about this incredible woman of faith, a recording artist, a wife, a mother, a woman of true faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love that she has in sharing the beauty of prayer and living a life of prayer. She lives it well, living those words that we pray. And as we think of those words of the Memorare, realize that they were written by Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. And Saint Bernard of Clairvaux is one of those saints that has such an affinity for our Blessed Mother, not just saying words, not just inviting her for intercession, but he truly being a man after God's own heart, loving our Lord and God so much that he is counted among the communion of saints, those who are canonized, and the incredible way that he too, when you ask him to pray for you, to realize how much he wants to intercede for us here on earth. And I love one of the poems that he wrote, or one of the passages that he wrote about our Blessed Mother. "Answer quickly, O Virgin. Reply in haste to the angel, or rather through the angel to the Lord. Answer with a word. Receive the word of God. Speak your own word. Conceive the divine word. Breathe a passing word. Embrace the eternal word. See the desired of all nations is at your door, knocking to enter. If he should pass by because of your delay, in sorrow, you would begin to seek him afresh. Arise in faith, hasten in devotion, open in praise and thanksgiving." And from those words, and you can look that one up, the beautiful "The World Waits Mary's Reply" by Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. And from that, our dear friend in Michigan, Liz Owen, took that writing of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux and crafted the most beautiful song. It's entitled "One Reply." And if you've listened to more than five or six of my shows, you're going to know that Liz is one of our favorites. Her beautiful way of crafting lyric and melody to take it from the head to your heart. And this one is no different. So as you hear Liz sing her beautiful song, "One Reply," you're going to see how Mary gives us the example of living the words that we pray. Again, Liz Owen, "One Reply."
You have heard. Not by man, but by the Spirit, freedom shall be won. The angel waits on you. Oh Mary, do not be afraid. We wait in expectation. Soon give your answer quickly to the Lord. In your answer ways salvation, and our sins we can't afford. The desire of all nations waits upon this one.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you so much. You know, what we're learning last week and this week in parts one and two of Living the Words We Pray is that when we pray, we are in this deep, incredible conversation with God, and that conversation really begins to be animated in our life. When we understand that it goes beyond the words, we don't just say words of prayers. We pray the words, and then by living them, we realize that many times when we are praying, we're on our knees because we have something happening in life. We have fear, we have anxiety, we have trepidation. And when we can come to that understanding that when we pray and begin to live those words, the fear begins to dissipate and it is replaced by faith, we can start saying in real, true verbiage, I will not fear. When I am living a life of prayer, the fear truly begins to go to the background. Yes, we're still dealing with things. Yes, we still have unanswered questions, sometimes for years in our life. But the fear can become so much less when we realize that God is hearing our prayer. Not just hearing them, but working through those situations in our life, working through the day-by-day moments that as we live our life with Him and through Him and in Him, we are transformed to people of faith. And that is going to take us to our next song. This beautiful lady, Mary Kastner Franzen, I brought her to you when she was still single a few years ago and shared her ministry. Since then, she has gotten married, a wonderful husband, and they actually have their first child arriving in just a couple of months. And to realize that this woman, too, is a woman of faith. She lives the words she prays, as she prayed for the Lord when she knew that she was called to the vocation of marriage, and asking the Lord to reveal who her husband would be, and to know that all the way to the country of New Zealand is where she would go and meet her then future husband. And of course, they've been married now for a couple of years. And I said, expecting their first child. To know that the word of prayer is lived in our lives. And so her song, I Will Not Fear, is the perfect one to share right now. To realize that as we move past fear because of faith, because of living the words that we pray, life changes, and it changes for the better. So again, from Mary Kastner Franzen, I Will Not Fear.
Darkness surrounds me, shadows flood my soul. Seems hopeless, and all I know are tears. I will not fear. it will move my mountains and lay my shame to rest. So I will not fear, I will not fear. You're always with me, for so near. So I will not fear, I will not fear. You're always with me, for so near. It's you.
Thank you, Mary. And again, for all of the artists whose music and ministry we share, please visit WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That's the site. The toll-free number is 1-888-880-6874. Again, 1-888-880-6874. And as last week, so many of you reaching out for the music of Anima Christi, if there is any of the other pieces of music that you would like to get your hands on, please send me an email through that same website. And I love to receive those emails along with your prayer requests, those special things that we here at Carrick Ministries can pray for you and yours. Now, as we continue along today, the beauty of Psalm 141, this psalm is so meaningful. Again, as we consider that simple little phrase that we are using this year, living the words we pray. And I really do want to take just a moment to read it. It's a short Psalm 141, a psalm of David. Lord, I call to you, hasten to me. Listen to my plea when I call. Let my prayer be incense before you, my uplifted hands an evening offering. Set a guard, Lord, before my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to evil, to perform deeds in wickedness. On the delicacies of evildoers, let me not feast. I mean, this is such a powerful prayer. I mean, the Psalms themselves are such incredibly powerful prayers. And so that one, as I was contemplating the book, Incense and Intercession, which is all of these beautiful prayers just broken apart so that we have a deeper and beautiful and real understanding of them, thereby making it easier for us to live those words that we are praying, not just saying them from memory. And so this one, Psalm 41, along with the Holy Spirit prayer, it just begged to be a part of that book and, of course, a part of the show today. And so this one had kind of a unique experience in the studio. When we were recording this, I said, I just want to sing it. Like, I don't want instrumentation. I don't want there to be this big focus on pianos and strings and guitars and woodwinds and everything else, the percussion that goes into so many of the recordings. I said, I just want a voice to sing it. And then my dear friend, Lisa Wentz, who is part of Catholic Charities here in the Diocese of Phoenix, and I've known her as a musician for a number of years. She has the most beautiful alto voice. And I said, let's just sing it. And then once we had sung it, it was nice to add just a couple of those little droning things that you're going to hear. But the reason I wanted just the voice and not all of the other stuff of the instruments is that so many times living our prayers or saying those prayers and then trying to figure out how to live them, we can be so caught up in the loudness of the things around us that in particular, this one, let my prayer rise like incense before you, O Lord. It just needs to be the stark words being sung. As I sing it for you, Think of those prayers. And of course, as Lisa joins me, think of those prayers that you have prayed, where you have in earnest taken your words before the Lord, whether they are prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving. Perhaps they are more of a plea. There is something going on in your life and you're just begging God to hear your prayer. Remind yourself that He is hearing you, that as your prayer leaves the end of your mouth and it becomes spoken, whether out loud or spoken through the thoughts or the moments of your heart, however that prayer is uttered, know that God is hearing you. And so take a moment now, wherever you are, as I sing for you, me, your host, Julie Carrick, Psalm 141.
Let my prayer rise like incense before you, O Lord. Let my prayer rise like incense before you, O Lord. The lifting up of my hands as an evening offering. Hear my prayer, hear my heart, O Lord. Set a guard, Lord, to my lips. Let not my heart incline to evil. Upon you, O Lord, my Lord. It is in you that I take refuge. Do not take away my soul. Guard me from the trap of evil, that I may pass over safely. Let my prayer rise like incense before you, O Lord. Let my prayer rise like incense. As an evening offering, hear my prayer, hear my heart, O Lord. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Evening offering, hear my
love singing it. I love praying it. And the beauty of taking prayers like Psalm 141, the Holy Spirit prayer, and adding just my heart into it with the melody and the simplicity, so that it can be a striking and haunting reminder that God is hearing us. There's just something powerful about that. And St. Thomas has given us some amazing things to ponder in prayer. And one of them is the prayer that he would pray prior to receiving our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. So I want to read this prayer first. I want you to hear these words. And then we're going to not only go to a song, but we're going to really break this one apart a little bit. But in the words of St. Thomas, Almighty and eternal God, behold, I come to the sacrament of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As one sick, I come to the physician of life, unclean to the fountain of mercy, blind to the light of eternal splendor, poor and needy to the Lord of heaven and earth. Therefore, I beg of you, through your infinite mercy and generosity, heal my weakness, wash my uncleanness, give light to my blindness, enrich my poverty, and clothe my nakedness. May I thus receive the bread of angels, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with such reverence and humility, contrition and devotion, purity and faith, purpose and intention, as shall aid my soul's salvation. Grant, I beg of you, that I may receive not only the sacrament of your body and blood of our Lord, but also its full grace and power. Give me the grace, most merciful God, to receive the body of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, in such a manner that I may deserve to be intimately united with his mystical body and to be numbered among his members. Most loving Father, grant that I may behold for all eternity, face to face, your beloved Son, with whom, on my pilgrimage, I am about to receive under the sacramental veil, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, world without end. Amen. Imagine if we lived that prayer every time we walked forward to the beauty of the sacrament of the Eucharist within the Mass. If we so disposed ourselves as to take on this humble and powerful prayer of St. Thomas, to acknowledge that we are broken and we need his healing, that we need his infinite mercy and generosity to heal our weaknesses, to wash our uncleanness, to give light to our blindness, and to enrich our poverty. I mean, what a difference our world would receive of us as we walk out of the church knowing that we have fully received him in the omnipotence of God, in the love and mercy that is without end. But if all we do is walk forward and it's this Sunday and we haven't been changed by the Eucharist, we need to run to these types of prayers and to ask those saints who have gone before us to teach us how to live these prayers so that we never once take for granted the incredible gift of the Eucharist, of Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, who we receive in the Eucharistic embrace. Now, to take this message from the head to the heart, Chuck and Alicia Brock, dear, dear friends from Iowa, have taken this beautiful prayer of St. Thomas and have set it to the most beautiful melody. And the lyrics are just lovely on the ear, moving that message from the head to the heart. So again, from Chuck and Alicia Brock, Prayer of St. Thomas. Thank you. The other beautiful song that I love when I think of this prayer of St. Thomas, when he said to receive the bread of angels, is that lovely old hymn, Panis Angelicus. And that one, I want to read the lyric of it before I sing it for you today. And what I've done with it is I've kept, obviously, the original beautiful Latin verses 1 and 2, but in between them, I've translated them to English. So, Panis Angelicus, fit panis hominum, dat panis celicus figuris terminum, o res mirabilis, manduca dominum, pauper servus et humilis. What that means in English, may the bread of angels be the bread for all mankind. The bread of heaven puts all symbols to an end. O thing miraculous, your body, Lord, will feed we the poor, the lowly, and the humble. And then the second verse in Latin. Te trina deitas, unaque pacimus, sic nos tu visita, sicute colimus, per tua semitas, duc nos cotendimus, ad lucem quam inhabitas. Which is, O mighty Lord, you, O Godhead, three in one, please come to visit us now as we worship you, and lead us in your ways, that we at last may see the perfect light where you dwell. Amen. So from me, your host, Julie Carrick, Panis Angelicus.
Angelicus, fit panis hominum, dat panis celicus, figuris terminum, ores mirabilis, manducat dominum, pauper servus et
the prayer and the song that is going to take us to the top of the hour, the beautiful prayer of Saint Francis. And I wanted to keep that one for the final song and prayer today, because I think at this time, more than ever before in our country, we need to be praying for peace, peace between every single one of us. So here is the song, The Instrument of Peace by Julie Carrick, your host.
Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow your love. Where there is injury, true forgiveness. Where there's doubt, true faith in you. Where there is pain, let me share your hope. where there is darkness, your light of truth. Where there is sadness, Lord, you bring us joy. May my hands be used to sow the peace that only love can bring. May my heart beat the rhythm set by God. May every gift He's given me be a tool of grace. May I be Christ's instrument. Divine Master, grant me not so much to seek consolation as to share your compassion, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love like you. It is in giving that we pardon, so are we forgiven. It is in dying that we are born to life. May my hands be used to sow the peace that only love can bring. May my heart be the rhythm set by God. May every gift He's given me be a tool of grace. May I be Christ's instrument of peace. May I be of peace.
Again, I just want to say thank you for taking this time with me each and every week on We Sing Our Faith. It is such a privilege to have this time with you. For information about each and every one of the artists, please visit WeSingOurFaith.org. WeSingOurFaith.org. That's the site. The toll-free number is 1-888-880-6874. Now, until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
A beacon of truth in a troubled world. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
When I was 8 years old, I sat on the floor of my grandparents' home in Detroit doing grammar homework. My grandmother glanced at my workbook and burst into laughter. Moments later, she returned holding the same exact workbook. She was taken in English class as a new immigrant. We laughed together, and at that moment, I saw her innocence and determination. Scripture is very clear about respecting our elders. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. That's in Timothy. So how do we honor our parents and elders while still offering helpful feedback? Love doesn't silence truth. It shapes how we deliver it. My daughter often points out my flaws, but she does it kindly, and I value it. Before approaching an elder, ground yourself in peace and love. Let your words come from respect and not frustration. Scripture says, honor your father and mother. My coach's question is this: how can you show the elders in your life that you love and respect them? This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, Communications Evangelist.
Hi, Julie Carrick here. I am delighted to be the host of We Sing Our Faith. This weekly program shares beautiful Catholic music and deep insights of many Catholic teachings. Join me on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock Central Time for We Sing Our Faith here on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock Central Time, We Sing Our Faith.
How many times have you heard it said that the church has been weak and ineffective? G.K. Chesterton says the church has been so powerful and effective that it colored even the things that it had not hoped to influence and changed its enemies as well as its friends. It affects everything it touches. It inspires a life-changing love in its friends and a self-destructive hatred in its enemies. Its enemies will do everything to destroy it, and they end up destroying everything except the church. The Catholic Church, says Chesterton, has endured for 2,000 years, and the world within the church has been more lucid, more level-headed, more reasonable in its hopes, more healthy in its instincts, more humorous and cheerful in the face of fate and death than all the world outside.
Spend more time with the Apostle of Common Sense. Visit Chesterton.org for more information.